This is the author of the erotic book Swing and Submission. I'm the drama princess, and you're listening to The Truth Brothers with Ray and Devon. And if you're not listening to The Truth Brothers, then the truth ain't in you.
Some of it you're gonna like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty shops.
This is Truth Brothers Radio.
More like it.
If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers, then the truth ain't in you.
Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys know you can hit us up at our email at truthbrosradio@gmail.com. And truth is spelled T-R-U-F. And do not forget to press that number one if you're going to join the conversation.
There it is. And the chat room is up and running. Feel free to walk on in there. Make it a party. Hey, what's going on, man? How was your Monday?
Monday was a Monday.
It sure was.
It was the definition of the word.
Yes, it was.
They should call it No Fun Day or something like that. It wasn't a bad day. It's just, I'm ready for the spring. I'm ready. I'm tired of this weather. I'm ready for the spring.
Tired of looking at the snow.
I'm tired of looking at my bike just not.
Yours is ready, ain't it?
Yeah, my bike's ready.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Mine ain't quite there yet.
Oh, well, that's what's up. Shouts out to Denicia Booth, who just said she's listening to the Truth Brothers right now live.
So all right, that's what I'm talking about.
Shouts out to my best friend Mookie and Josh Sim and Sarai over there listening to Truth Brothers Radio.
There it is. Oh, they are walking in the chat room big time. Yeah.
Of course, it's erotic. It's erotic night.
That's right. That's right. They come out of the woodwork for this.
When the Truth Brothers start talking about ecstasy and orgasms, and we will be joined by the erotic author herself, La Drama Princess, who y'all heard on the introduction. Let's see how this goes.
Yep.
I ain't going to lie.
Yep. You know how she say she found us?
How she say she found us?
Following La Crush. Yep.
Balloon blowing La Crush, huh?
What's up, La Crush?
Yeah, that's my girl.
That's my girl. Yeah, she coolest.
Cool as a fan.
Brooklyn in the house.
That's what Notorious said.
Right. But, so how was your weekend?
It was pretty good. I celebrated my son's first birthday over the weekend.
All right.
It was
nice.
Cool. It was real cool. Family, everybody came out. It was real nice. Shout out to everybody who kicked it with us that weekend. So, did that and caught up on some sleep. That was just my life. Went and got, took care of some issues, got some things straightened out. So now life is really looking up for the young God. So
nice, good.
Yeah, yourself.
Good. My weekend was weird, man. It went way too quick.
Yeah, it
but
did.
Yeah, check this out. I'm gonna tell you something.
Here we go.
Right.
Grab a thinking spoon.
Yeah. No, I'm out with a friend of mine. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And she go, hey, can we stop up in this mall? I want to pick up a purse.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Okay, right. So we going to the mall, right?
Uh-huh.
And big extravagant mall. I ain't never been to this mall before.
What's the name of it?
It's Biohara, and it's expensive. That's all. I should have just said expensive.
That's what they should have called it.
That's what they should have called it.
I got you.
So, you know, first off, it's people in the mall. And you know, I'm not used to that down here where we are.
Oh, no, that ain't Lincoln Mall.
There you go.
smash Lincoln Mall, do better.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
Yeah, it's a garbage mall, right. If you go to Lincoln Mall, you'll think that you were starring in the Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, it's really that bad. It's like, you know how, it's the worst place to go to is a struggling mall. Because everything you see meet me over there by the gate that's half closed by the pretzel joint. next to the lady who used to sell phone accessories.
Right, like that, exactly.
It's that bad.
Exactly. Lincoln Mall only has shoe stores. Oh, I'm sorry, gym shoe stores.
There you go.
Snapbacks and eyebrow sharpening.
And let's not forget your pretzels.
Yeah, they hanging on though by three.
Oh yeah,
they hanging on by all the other ones.
Ahmad.
Anybody else with food and clothes, they about the only thing left.
Yeah, because Ahmad right. do that. Ahmad don't like that. Oh, I don't like him. His he beard, don't, yeah. he don't put the hairnet on his beard or nothing.
Just nothing.
Sprinkles that Ramadan.
Right.
All on
you want you want cheddar cheese on your pretzel, and he shake his beard over
yeah.
your over
like,
your pretzel.
I said cheddar, not powdered, bro. Keep it. Just leave it. Leave it.
Right.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so we in the mall, right? And I mean, it's stores. I didn't know. Like Burberry has a store.
Yeah, Burberry.
Yeah, I didn't know they had a store. I just thought they had stuff that you buy in other stores like Carson's. Put it like this. In this mall, Carson's would have been Sears.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, I'm going to go get a Coach bag. Now, the only Coaches I've ever seen is at the flea market.
There you go. Get it for $450.
Right.
And I'm not talking $400. Go ahead.
She goes in the store, right? And I'm looking. And what struck me funny is, okay, you know how when malls have a second level, the middle part of the floor, there's a hole so you can see down to the first level.
Right.
So it stores on one side and stores on the other, but nothing in the middle but the hole.
Right.
So we're walking in the Coach, and it struck me funny because I looked across the mall, and there was a Coach store on the other end.
Yeah. You do know, you know, like in Vegas, they have those, like, Gucci stores, Louis Vuitton.
No,
and, yeah, they
I've heard
stores.
Them, never been in one.
Yeah, they have
this
those
is what threw me. There's a Coach on across, directly across from the Coach we walking in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, why the hell would they have two stores?
Oh, you didn't know the difference? You didn't know, you found
tell
out
me
why?
The difference.
One of them has, like, Coach clothes and all that other stuff. The other one has like just for like purses, bags, and all that other
yep,
stuff.
Nope, that wasn't it.
Well, you know that is one of the
reasons. I could believe that. This store had no clothes in it. The store across Coach, and when I walked in, I seen something that said Coach Men's, and I'm like, Coach makes crap for men?
Yeah,
really?
Coach shoes. You never seen them coach?
There was no shoes there, sir.
I'm just saying they make coach.
I hear you.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
They had, well, I'll get into that. So she's looking around. She says, that's it. And she grabs this purse, a big giant Coach purse.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the big giant purses women
like
wear.
Like the Michael Kors bags.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Big ass Coach purse, right? And I'm looking like, I could have sworn I seen that at the flea market, but if this is how you do.
But it's real.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then I saw the price, $300.
Yeah.
$300.
You don't shop for like, women a lot, do you?
Hey, man. She said, yeah, this is. Now, here's the killer part. It's still dawning on me that we on the men's side of the store. But she got the purse on the men's side. And I'm like, so I look around, there's belts.
Yeah.
The belts there look like belts. There was nothing spectacular. They have some watches. Now, you would think the watches were real nice, right? Watches look like garbage.
Blinged out.
Oh. No, they wasn't. No. They wasn't garbage like knuckle garbage. They were just cheap-looking watches. All the stuff they had was garbage except for all the bags. So I'm looking at it like, I don't believe this. The dude walked up and said, this bag for you? I said, excuse me? Hell no, this bag ain't for me.
But you do know they make those like...
it was a man's bag.
Yeah.
But it looked like a giant purse, dude. It didn't look like a duffel bag. It didn't look like you know, like a dude to carry a back, like you carry a backpack.
Yeah.
You know.
I got the one that got, like, it had, like, a little flap on the side or something. Like, what they, I forgot what they called it.
Yeah, like, you're talking like you keep your laptop.
Yeah, they have
those. It wasn't like that. Yeah, those men purses.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. This looked like one of the women's bags. The only thing it had inside was a, what's that, it's a big giant strap, like if you was putting your duffel bag on or you was putting your gym bag on.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah,
the hang over you. Right. And I'm looking, and I'm like, man, this whole store is designed to sell dudes' purses. Wrong.
Well, that goes back to what we were talking about.
Wrong.
The thing, the, last show, so.
Dude. Not down with the purses, man. They wasn't. A bag is a gym bag. I got a bag. It's a. I got a Corvette bag.
Right.
The gym bag. These were purses. Literal giant purses for men. I'm like, nah. That's why she went and she said, yeah, the girls don't get them. They don't have them this big for the girls.
Because men are bigger.
Right.
Praise Jesus.
Right. Not with it, man. Not with it.
Nah, it's getting there. I mean, the guys are getting a little on the sweet side, getting a little feminine in them, and hence and therefore, we're losing it.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
The battle is not us. It's not the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Is what I was.
Who we hollering at, man?
That's what I was told.
Just stop fighting.
Oh, it's gonna be a good show, y'all. Hope y'all hang in there with us. Again, we're gonna have the Drama Princess on with us on the second hour. We're talking
She's in
about,
the chat room too.
Talking about her erotic novels. And yeah, I need y'all to come enjoy
Stiff
that.
Books is what they call them.
Yeah, it's gonna be a show, and she's with the trooper. I can't believe she agreed to do this. I'm be
I
honest.
Can't either, yeah.
Dude, I cannot believe you still got time to back out, babe. Don't.
No, she don't.
The don't. Doc,
if you don't call us, we'll call you.
It's really okay.
No, it's not. She's sticking her tongue out at us.
I'll let that marinate. All right. shout out to first we got to holler at Jackie Harris. What's going on? All gotta
right.
give her props. Maurice Burnt, what's her name? Yeah, Burnt. Yeah, and her son. That's what we call her Smiley, right? That's what the Facebook page is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Smiley. What up, girl?
Mm-hmm.
And her son got the great grades. Got to the new school.
Yeah.
Out here.
Right.
That's all that messes.
Right.
But no.
No coach book bag.
Nah, but yeah. That's coach purses for kids. It's shorts for thugs. Don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, really. Go
but shout out to her, man. Cool people. Got to shout out Raven Barnes. Got to holler at Raven Barnes getting accepted into the California School of Performing Arts.
All right.
Big news, man, because she's
all right.
really been
she's
trying
about
to get
ready
there.
To join the G-Network street team.
There you go. So she now she's a singer. So
we can take some of those, too.
Yeah.
Like that, like the Republican immigration song, she could sing it.
Oh, yeah, there you go. If you don't like Latasha Vaughn, shout out Trinity Patrick, shouting her out. Sade Dixon, Leon Wire. Got to shout out DeMarco. Yeah, winning too.
Yeah,
DeMarco
winning boss, right.
at Real Talk Radio. Got to shout him out. And Ramon Garrett at WLUV. Shouting him out as well.
What's up, bro? Long time no hear from, man. Where
I know,
been?
Man. Everybody been disappearing on the truck, bro.
He's from Detroit, too. You know, Leon's from Detroit.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
They need a better basketball team. That's what I tell them. And your Lions can't get the job done. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Y'all need a Wendy's burger. Gotta shout out again my friend Denicia Booth and Josh Sim and Sarai over there listening to Truth Brothers right now as we speak. Melanated Royalty.
Hey, sister. I hope you can get in today.
Yeah. And why Jedi? I've been saying her name all this time, so shouting her out as well.
There you go.
For DJ's B-Days, bear with the kid. It's going to take some time. Yoni Day, birthday, coming in. LaDietra Birmingham, happy birthday. Gene Lockett, David Blackham, Glendora Marshall, Patrick Robinson, Alonda Weaver, Marcus Allen, Jacqueline Harris.
And that is the Marcus Allen, too.
Yes, it is. Jennifer A. Evans, Anthony Anderson, my boy Roy Morgan, and Pepper Mills, who's not married to Tony Stark. So happy birthday to all of those people. And, hey, thank you guys for listening to True Brothers Radio. We appreciate it all.
Yeah, man, it's getting bigger and bigger, boy. Yeah, so
take that break and then.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, let's do it.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we jump right into the terrible truth.
Yeah. True Brothers Radio.
This is Candace from Truth Brothers Radio. As you may know, for 2012, Truth Brothers Radio has received two Jordan McHale Awards for Best New Show of the Year, as well as Best New Group or Duo, and we couldn't have done it without you and your continued support. Keep listening to the Truth Brothers live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com or call into the show at 818-514-1202 to listen and give us your questions or comments. Missed an episode? No worries. All episodes are archived on our Blog Talk Radio page, Facebook, or you can download episodes for free on iTunes. Be sure to check out our clips on YouTube and share them with your friends and family. Again, thanks for all the love and support as we keep doing our thing. Peace.
Truth Brothers Radio. We're not going to come in with the...
Your music... Hey, your musical interlude threw me off there. Here we go.
Yeah, hold on, y'all. I need...
This is The Terrible Truth with your terrible anchors, Ray and Devon.
Greetings and salutations. This is Ken Clark of The Terrible Truth. This portion of The Terrible Truth is brought to you by Retards All Left Shoes. You can only get what we got left. Go ahead.
And Rosie O'Donnell front hole panties. Sitters are quitters by Rosie.
Come on. Anyway. Real quick, man, before we really jump into the terrible truth, we had a lot of comments after the show went off last week, right? And I want to read a few of those comments that came through. Again, if you guys didn't listen to last week's show, you can catch it on our radio channel on audiomac.com. You go on there, type in Truth Bros. All of our previous shows will pop up. Get in, listen to it. So last week we did You're Too Dark for Me. Sorry, You're Too Dark for Me. And, you know, we got into a real good conversation. A lot of one of the comments I wanted to read came from Lamar Patrick. He said, honestly, people have their own preference when it comes to dating, but to not like a person, period, for the color of their skin is sick. We're living in the times where we need love all around as a group of people, and to judge a person's character based on how dark the skin is, we're basically doing their, quote-unquote, their job for them. That's what he said. Raina Summer said, I guess folks will have their preference. I guess folks will have a preference when it comes to choosing a mate, as they have preferences for any other things in life. If a man told me, sorry, your skin is too light for me, I just move on. His loss. Some preferences are just that, preferences. That's a lot of preferences she using, isn't it?
She had a preference for that word.
I know. Now, if a person prefers light or darker because of a hatred of themselves and their own color, then that is a problem that they need to come to terms with. Thanks for your comment. Another comment we got came from a girl named Boots, a.k.a. BKA Chaos, but it's spelled K-OS.
There it is.
I do it all the time. I have a preference that I'm entitled to have. I don't think it makes me a bad person, but I mean, people will look past somebody with bad breath or body odor. Why would it be a bad thing for me to like light-skinned people versus dark-skinned?
Yep, because dark skin and bad breath goes together like hand and glove, right? Bad breath is, yes, that's offensive to your nose.
Yes.
It stinks.
So you telling me dark skin is offensive to your eyes?
Like, there you go. Dark skin is like bad breath for your eyes.
See.
Of course I would have a preference. Looking all speckly black like that.
Out there.
What a dumbass.
Out there, dark shining. Looking like the traitor.
Looking like space.
Oh, mugwit.
Wow.
He's mugly. Looking like mud and dump stuff.
Really?
All right.
You can have a preference for cars, clothes.
Sure.
You can have a preference for television shows.
But don't get me wrong.
Everybody's got a type.
Right.
Everybody's got a type. But if they're light-skinned in my type, cool. If they're dark-skinned in my type, a type is a criteria I have that's compatible for me.
Right.
But the skin don't do... It's not like I'm going to touch light-skinned people and have a reaction.
No, but some people just aren't attracted to dark skinned people. I don't think, like, it's not me. I don't have a type. You know what I'm saying?
You have a type.
I have a type.
Everybody's got a type, but
no.
The skin color ain't a criteria in your type.
Dude,
That's all.
I've kicked it with olive oil on up to precious. That ain't got nothing to do with it.
But there's still your type might be more of a personality trait.
Everybody has a type. I got
but it doesn't have to necessarily be a physical thing. For you, it could be personality. For some people, it can be physical. Some people don't.
That's what the girl Boots or BKA Chaos was trying to say, that hers is physical, and she might just be into the Chris Brown, Trey Songz looking type dudes.
Mm-hmm.
That might just be her type. So I don't know. I don't know.
Because your skin color can bring about a compatibility.
But
we can be compatible because you're light skinned.
I think that. The only thing that got me, like, that's fine if she don't like dark-skinned people. To date. She can,
right.
That's what I'm saying. If she's saying, I don't like them, I don't want to be around them,
you don't like them to date. A skin color has nothing to do. You big, small, gotcha.
Well,
but your skin color, because every skin color going to come in every type of your type, even if it's physical. So
not
the
really.
Skin really
if
name
your type,
a,
if your
name
type,
type
is light skin, then how can dark skin be your type?
But just the skin color shouldn't be a
it
prerequisite.
I'm talking
about your personality, your size. I understand some people don't like real big women. Some people don't like real. I don't like real skinny chicks.
Yeah, I know.
That's not my thing.
Yeah,
that's not my thing. But not a color.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's just you. I mean,
you're skinny and light. No. Can't do it.
You know, like some dudes.
Well, bad,
say, I, like,
she compared it to. Look, she made a comparison with
bad breath. That's what got
like,
me. Like,
whoa.
That's a little on the bad side. But to you got some dudes that say I only like dark skinned women. Like that's you got dudes like that say, yo, this is just what I'm into. But whatever, neither here nor there. We might have to come back to that. But anyway,
you're right. Exactly.
Here we go. Getting into
818-514-1202. If you got any comments out there, feel free to throw them out there. We'll stop the terrible truth to talk about this too.
We can keep it going. This is interactive.
We're flexible like that.
This is interactive radio.
Afraid to call in and take the show where you want it to go.
Yeah, if y'all want to talk about, hey, what them socks doing? Nothing. Anyway, mentally ill inmate baked to death at Rikers Island.
He what to death?
Bakes, as in Molly and the little girls are having a bake sale.
How did he get an easy bake oven in the prison?
He's mentally ill. All left shoes is what he buys.
How would you take somebody out to buy nothing but left shoes?
Take his
socks. Keeps losing the right.
Keep taking socks. Somebody take his socks. He's retarded. No.
That's messed
Cue
up.
It up. It's going to go there.
Messed up.
Cue it up. It's going to go there. Jerome Murdoch was
Get
just
his socks. Put his helmet on.
That's the dude that be taking retarded
kids. Put his mouth guard back in.
Did I tell you that story, man? I was at the
Here we go.
We're going to stop the story.
Here
Get
we
it
go.
Ready, right? I'm at the grocery store the other day. I'm getting some stuff ready to make my lunch for work, right? So, y'all, again, 818-514-1202. Preston, number one, join the conversation. Or say we're wrong. We listen, but, hey, this is life. So I'm at the grocery store, Jules. I'll say it.
Yeah.
So I'm in the line, and behind me, I'm hearing something. I'm in a self-checkout, right? So I look behind me. No, it ain't LD, the tall dummy. No, it ain't backwards gum chewer. No, it ain't him. Go get my graham cracker. But no, it's this dude. It's this mom out with her son, and they're in the freezer section.
Yep, it's finna go there.
So, through my peripheral, right? Through my peripheral, I catch a slight glimpse, right? So I see mom is struggling with the little boy, right? Like, and trying to keep him wild, you know, calm down, right?
Right.
So I'm like, you know what, Devon, this ain't your day. Just get your food and leave, because I have that crazy, I'll say something, right? So she say, boy, be still so I can put your helmet on, right?
No, she,
dude, I'm...
You a damn lie.
Dude.
You a damn
lie. I cannot make that up that fast, dude. I'm at Jules. She's in the freezer. The dude is pulling all the freezer doors open.
Bomb pop. Bomb pop.
She tells the dude, boy, sit your ass still so I can put your helmet on. And he just, and running and moving his...
Let's get retarded. Put your hand in the air and try to break your wrist. Then the cross your chest and try to bite your ear. And go,
I ain't wearing no helmet.
Ballpark.
Get the ballpark Franks out your pants, boy.
I'm daddy. I'm daddy.
Y'all got his cue. take the grapes out you stupid.
Stop it. Oh, that's wrong.
I'm daddy. Get the onion rings off your ears. Stop.
Oh,
Put
no.
Put the cabbage down, boy. It's my head. My head.
We here at the Truth Brothers do apologize for any inappropriate remarks that were made and will be made during this broadcast.
That's my friend Wilson. It's my cabbage buddy. Okay, let's get to this story.
No.
Really?
We're going to take a break. We'll get to the baking yourself to death after this. That was kind of raw. We're going to take a breather. True Brothers Radio.
Being here in America doesn't make you an American. Being born here in America doesn't make you an American. Why
legislation. You wouldn't need any amendments to the Constitution. I don't see any American dream. I see an American nightmare. I'm one of the 42 million black people who are victims of America.
Hard truth soldiering, hard truth soldier shit. Keep on serving them, cause you know.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Do you suffer from nose itch? Do you find yourself having to blow, wipe, even pick? These are symptoms of a common but serious condition called dried nasal mucus, commonly known as boogers. If you'd prefer to use a pill rather than a tissue, prescription superfluous helps to correct this problem. While taking superfluous, you may not be able to sleep, eat, drink, stand, sit, walk, smile, laugh, speak, function, breathe, or wake up. Other side effects include nausea, diarrhea, bloating, flatulence, weight gain, migraine, mood swings, drastic change in libido, frequent urination, fatigue, or in other words, pregnancy. Other side effects can include internal hemorrhaging, heart rupture, brain rupture, rabies, loss of eyesight or smell, loss of eyesight and smell, spontaneous combustion, and slow, horrific, painful, tragic, avoidable death. In rare cases, superfluous can cause dried nasal mucus to worsen, which can lead to asphyxiation. People who eat food should not take superfluous. If you commit suicide, discontinue use immediately and dial 911. Stop boogers today. Undermine the fact your doctor spent half their life in medical school. Diagnose yourself and ask him or her about the superfluous prescription drug, Superfluous.
The new moon rode high in the crown of the metropolis, shining like who on top of this? People was tussling, arguing and bustling. Gangsters of Gotham, hardcore hustling. I'm wrestling with words and ideas. My ears is pricked, seeking what will transmit. Subscribe to the box, transcript. Yo, this ain't no time where the usual wanna sue the
boss. Brothers Radio, we're back. And we're talking about inmates faking themselves to death.
Man, the terrible truth has already gone off the rails.
Off the rails.
Like that train on the blue line.
Yes.
Too soon.
No, not really.
Nah. Okay.
Yeah.
Finish your story.
Then we'll talk about Choo Choo.
Choo Choo, the sleepy girl.
This is gonna be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going there.
Hold on. Let me. Because people are asking y'all, saying y'all are wrong. Devon, that's not right to talk about the slow boy. Maybe he was practicing for football. The only football that boy knew is when he bites his toe. He grabs his foot, grabs his testicle. That's his football.
That's
anyway.
Wrong. Oh my God.
Okay, so let's hold on. I'm sorry, people. Y'all gotta excuse me. I gotta catch myself. Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
So I'm sorry, the story's coming up. Please forgive me. I'm tripping. Okay, here we go. It's a phone, man. Okay. Jerome Murdoch was just looking for a warm place to sleep on a chilly night last month when he curled up in an enclosed stairwell on the roof of the Harlem Public Housing Project where he was arrested for trespassing.
Get your homeless ass off my roof.
Hey. Don't bring your dirty piss water up here. Get out of here.
That's wrong.
Over here looking
That's
like,
wrong.
Looking like the In Living Color bum over here. Get your pickle out of there. Anyway, a week later, the mentally ill homeless man was found dead in the Rikers Island jail cell that four city officials say had overheated to at least 100 degrees.
Oh, you want to be warm. Oh, the homeless guy wants to be warm.
Make him a
Let's
bum.
Let's warm him up, boys.
Make him a bum steak.
Let's make
Turn that stinky knocker into a bum steak.
Oh, look, he's cold. All right, turn the heat up.
You know who turned that heat up?
That's...
Oh. that? Is it wrong?
That's wrong.
Well, I'm like, excuse me.
It's a little cold in here. Can I get a little heat? You look a little cold in that cell. You look a little cold, son.
It is. You know, I'm off the street.
No, but it's a little cold. And that dry slab of a bed is cold. I can warm it up for you, though. Just sign my little plan here, and I'll make you nice and toasty. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee you'll be toasty the rest of your life. Sign right here. Luau.
Damn it, open my floor door.
That is close.
Gary Coleman. Gary Coleman's in hell.
Gary Coleman is in hell. Working a floor door.
You know what's wrong?
On a step stool, pulling the chain.
Talk about devil.
What you talk about, Satan?
Open my floor door, midget. That's why your parents stole your money.
Out of all the indignities, and then Gary Coleman ends up in hell. It happened.
Yeah, you know what's wrong?
Gary's in hell.
I'm sorry. We're going to hell.
But at least he gets to finally hit Dana Plato.
That's wrong.
Oh, he's hitting Sisson yet. No, the world's on move. Yeah.
You think he's hitting that? The man died and said, you know what? I'm just a virgin. I'm tired of it. I don't need it. And he was just doing it, and I'm pretty sick of it.
You know, your life has already went off the rails when, of all people, Vanilla Ice can dish you.
Yeah.
When it gets down to Vanilla Ice having one up on you, you've lost.
Yeah, true. True that.
You've lost.
True that. But I feel bad for the dude. But
I would have punched Vanilla Ice in his face
for picking up
Gary. Come on, say it. Say what you're talking about. Like, of all people, you ain't got no right to talk about anybody.
But he won.
You're Vanilla Ice.
But he won. In the end, Vanilla Ice won.
Mm.
Hey, tattoos and all, Vanilla Ice.
Hey, Hot Topics is in the building. What's up, Tony?
Yeah, she.
Lorelai's in the building. This 3 weeks straight, Lorelai, this is going to become a trend, girl.
Oh, the ladies from last week back in Allen.
Yeah.
Hold on.
This is our third week hanging with her.
Talk to the ladies. Hold on.
Yep, I say hi to Tony, and she logged right out. Harumph.
Yep. How y'all doing, ladies up there in that queue? Y'all all right?
There you go.
Y'all feel good. Hold on, man. I just want to talk to the ladies. How y'all doing? Making sure y'all feel good. All right. All right. That's
all right. Go ahead, man. So the homeless guy... Who turned the heat up on the homeless guy?
Well, let's just find out. Apparently because of a malfunctioning equipment.
Sure it was. Sure. That's called we turned the thermostat up and walked away. We thought it was funny.
I'm tired of the bum stinking. The officials told the Associated Press that the 56-year-old former Marine was on antipsychotic and anti-seizure medication, which may have made him more vulnerable to the heat. Well... hot in here.
Man, is it hot in here.
I think I'm having the shakes. It's my Jesus. But anyway, he also apparently did not open a small vent in his cell.
That said, open to be cool. Call a window.
You see,
the homeless man couldn't open the window.
I never had one before. What is that? A window.
Boxes don't have windows.
The deaf side.
That's messed up.
The blind side. It's the deaf side.
You know that's what they make coach purses out of.
Bums.
Homeless people.
Homeless people arms. Shave their butt. Come get you a coach from a deaf dead man.
$300.
Whatever, man. That's what the going rates for purses. Ladies in the chat room, tell this man what going rates for.
Someone teach
I don't
me.
Know. I don't buy.
Teach
I'm not saying
me.
I don't know. I shop, you know, and I go out and I see things. Yeah, the going rate for a lady's handbag, purse, or whatever is around $300. A handbag maybe run you about $150. two. You want the Dooney and Burke, Michael Kors, Coach?
I never heard of Michael Kors. I thought he made beer.
You never heard of Michael Kors? You got Lady Kors watches and all. You never? Man, you gotta at least open your eyes. But anyway, he also apparently did not open a small vent in his cell, and also as other inmates did to let in cool air. He basically based to death.
Said like one the of cookie. I made homeless cookies.
I made ginger home. That's all spoke on a condition of anatomy because they were not permitted to discuss specifics of the case. The medical examiner's office said, and the autopsy was inconclusive. Oh, they raped him and baked
him. Oh, my God.
It's a rape and
bake. I don't know if he actually baked to death. I don't know what the cause of death was.
It was a rape and bake. I'm done with the story. That's what it was. I can say it. Rape and bake. Don't look at me like that, man.
Oh, he's all tuckered out.
Yeah.
He's all tuckered out from his raping.
He's cold. I don't know.
Warm him up.
I don't know if he's cold or he's happy or satisfied.
That's wrong.
I did put a good hour of work in on it.
That's right. That's wrong.
I did
get.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm done with that.
Hey, little homeless man.
I kiss you, you orange flavor mother.
Smelling like dirty tang. Come here. Come here. Oh, crusty
lip,
boy.
Oh, my God.
Nah, the ass.
Rubbing two sticks together keep you warm.
Now, that's a fire.
Hold him down, boys. We got him. Hold
him. Fighting. Hold him. I said hold him.
I came looking for man's butt.
There you go.
All right.
All right.
And gently.
Oh, he stopped fighting right away.
Nah, you can take the lose
back.
He's been here before. I mean, go ahead, man.
He warmed up awfully quick. Okay.
He's...
We here at the Truth Brothers do apologize for the inappropriate comments that were... But damn it. Sorry.
I would have thought the rigor mortis kicked in by now. He's still going. All right. That's enough of that, man. Long story short, it was a rape and bake. The dude's out of here. I'll put the story in the terrible truth.
There you go.
Second hour conversation again. Erotic fiction novelist.
Yes. She's thinking twice about her decisions now.
Yeah, told you this is. Hey, this is our radio. It's for the people.
Well, speaking of torture, two teen girls physically torture and sexually torture. Autistic boy.
Yeah.
Forces him to have sex with animals.
Oh, he got them Scooby Dooby Doo.
Oh my God, here we go.
Now Dewey. Get that chicken.
Marys County, Maryland. Two Maryland teens have been jailed after they allegedly repeatedly abused a 16-year-old autistic boy. Corky, as he's known. Come on, man.
Corky's a cat cucker.
Oh, boo. Boo on you, sir.
Girl, let me get this so I make sure I got the story straight.
Two loving girls. The ones that's made of sugar and spice.
Yeah, the two Powerpuff girls.
Two Powerpuff girls, right.
Made.
Forcing him to have sex with the family pet, Coco. According to police, Lauren Bush, 17, and an unidentified 15-year-old girl abused, assaulted, and tortured the boy over a three-month period beginning in December. Christmas time.
Kiss is red.
First off, there's no Santa. You know where Santa's at? In Coco's behind. That's wrong.
Now kiss that dog's lipstick.
Investigators say the girls assaulted the boy with a knife, kicked him in the groin, dragged him by the hair, and forced him to walk across a frozen pond. The girls called this marriage. More heinous, the teens allegedly forced the boy to masturbate and have sex with the family pet.
Now let me see you stroke. Now stroke Coco.
Red Rocket. Oh, my God.
Looks like the retard is blasting off again.
You're wrong, sir. You're wrong. You are. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
This is the worst show ever.
An investigation was launched after one of the mothers, after the mother of one of the suspects found videos on her daughter's cell phone called Christmas Break.
Called this porn. Hold on.
Oh, my God. Authorities are trying to determine why the girls decided to film the act.
Because it was Friday.
And upload the videos to social media sites to share with other students.
Watch a retard get a Rottweiler.
Bush was charged as an adult with first and second degree assault, false imprisonment, and solicitation of child pornography.
False imprisonment?
Yeah, that's called torture, being held against your will.
First off, let's just get there. We don't know.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
We don't know if Corky cool with it. We don't know this.
Corky kept coming back to the house.
Corky was like, hey, looks like y'all got to teach me another lesson. Never.
I won't learn.
Oops.
Let's get retarded. Put your hand in the air, try to break your wrist. Then the cross your chest and try to bite your ear. And go,
What the hell?
That was
is going on,
yeah.
Man.
And these are the children, the future.
You making Dipsy the dumb dude do the dog. Dipsy the dumb dude does
the
dog.
Every time Corky gets the dog, go the other way.
And Corky like, look, they making me. But they gone.
The dog, come on, man. Why is he in our yard again?
Corky just started putting his little flip-flam through the gate. Corky started putting his flip-flam through the gate.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's
what
over.
Dumbass.
It's over. We might as well wrap it up. This show's over.
We're out of apologies. We've never run out of apologies before.
Yeah.
Oh, this was wrong.
I did not expect this on this show. Oh. Next hour, again, we will have erotic fiction novels. Awesome. Make her do the Corky.
Yeah, she say she hadn't heard this story before. Wow.
Yeah, it's real life.
Yes.
It's real life.
Yes. Oh, Tony is just, we're wrong. Yeah.
How you doing, Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about time it finally happened.
He flew off the bus.
Off the train. It's a
blue line.
Two zippers on up the morning. I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Two zippers
on up the morning. But y'all, you two have been, I've been sending your pamphlets for years. It's about that time. Come on with me.
Come
it's
on,
over.
Guys.
Come on.
Devon, Ray, let's go.
Come on. The elevator movie going to be Noah.
We know you.
Damn it. Open my floor door.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's for us. Noah.
Forget that. We're already off the rails, man.
Noah.
Why Why are you doing that?
No,
whatever. We're not 80. Anyway, I got something I got.
No, I gotta get. Tell them about the train.
Okay, cool.
Let's talk mass transit.
Chicago Transit Authority, better known to us out here in Illinois as the CTA.
That's right.
Had a mild accident early this morning where a Blue Line L train jumped the track and landed into kind of where the escalator is around O'Hare, right?
Yes.
Now, a couple things wrong with this, right?
Here we go.
One.
Why would the train jump the tracks? It's been running all night. Did something happen with the tracks? Did the tracks come apart? Maybe from the pressure of the trains running all night?
It's going to be it's two things. Well, first, let's go with the obvious. First off, the lady who was driving. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, sir.
The lady who was running the train dozed off behind the switch, right?
I've been partying all night.
Money Train and Unstoppable and the movie with Denzel and John Travolta. 123.
Tell them 123.
There you go.
Tell all that Blue Line, Unstoppable, Money Train. Yes, the line was called the Blue Line in Chicago. They have many elevated train lines, and they're all designated a different color. Well, the one that's going from downtown to O'Hare Airport is called the Blue Line.
Indubitably.
And my girl who had, hey, in her defense, she had a hell of a Saturday night.
What was on her agenda?
She went partying.
Videotaping.
She caught a couple of corkies and had a party.
And she deserved it. She
lived it up.
And she did not want to miss work. That's
did not want to miss work. Went to church all day. I don't need to sleep. I've given my dues up to the Lord.
He'll wake me up. So she grabbed the speed adjustment and let go and let God.
Yeah, no, she dozed off and when her head hit the train switch, it pushed the knob up.
So long. Now that's one thing.
Anybody want to know? Remember Spider-Man 2? Spider-Man, Doc Ock fighting on the train line, and the knob that Doc Ock broke to lock the train in the fast speed is one little handle. Push it up, you go faster. Pull it back, you go slower.
She said.
She dozed off. Hand was going up.
She saw that. You know, what was the flash? Na-na. What was that? I can't remember that.
And she's listening to Queen.
Yeah.
Listening to Flash Gordon.
Yeah, Flash Gordon. That's what she saw.
Run that train faster?
Yeah. Anybody who ain't ever saw Flash Gordon, man, y'all got to see that.
Fun B movie.
Yeah.
Fun bad movie. Oh, my God, that movie's so awful.
Yeah, but it's worth it. So, real quick, bam. So she goes ahead, you know, she dozes off.
She dozes off.
And crashes. Now, me, I'm instantly thinking, damn, why didn't I take the train that day? Because I'd have been off and suing. Oh, I'd have sued everybody. Yes. I'd have sued the lady.
The train, not only did the train was moving so fast, not only did it jump the track, it jumped up onto the train
platform
and ran all the way into the escalator. Now, for some people who don't understand what I'm saying, because some people got thinking like a train platform of like your old-fashioned trains.
No.
In Chicago, a lot of the L trains run parallel to the expressways. I'm sorry. You'll have one expressway going, let's just say north. You've got the set of lanes going south, and in between the lanes are the train lines. One line going north, one line going south.
Right.
And in between those trains are the train platforms. So people would get on the train platforms by going on to the overpass of the expressway and right in the middle, making your way down to the L line. She was moving so fast, the train jumped the track, ran up onto the platform, and hit the escalator because she fell asleep. And she said it was 3 in the morning. What do you expect people to do at 3 in the morning? They sleep.
I'm just saying. And yes, she was working the overnight shift. Long story short, the girl, now, First off, let's get to the second part because I've said that. The second part is
yes.
There is a bumper, right, that if a train, such an activity, which happened today, such an activity happens, the bumper is supposed to stop the train.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with the speed or nothing. The bumper was at least supposed to at least trigger the brakes or bump the train,
the computer,
right?
Computer say, hey, this fool is going too fast.
No. They're launching an investigation because after the girl signed, yes, I was asleep. I don't care. I was asleep. I needed my Z.
It happened, and we all know it happened.
Now, they want to know why the bumper was defective, basically, right?
Because she turned it off and used it as a pillow.
Of course. But, you know, the bumper's on the track.
Whatever.
But anyway, bumper's on the track, lifts up, bam, stops the train, right? Now, remember, 2 years ago, maybe. 2 years ago, they were doing reconstruction on the blue line, right? Two, three, something
no,
like that.
No, they were doing reconstruction on the red line.
I know
line.
They did the red line, but you know they did sections. They did blue, red line, blue line, brown line, green line.
Right. No, I think the blue line was due for this year. Matter of fact.
I think that
was
the green
line. Yeah, I think
line.
the blue line was due for this year. It wasn't the green line. I just remember hearing that. I thought they were rehabbing the blue line
this
year.
When West Chicago was about to get reelected, and they was trying, Rob. You got to do, yeah. And they, now was it Rob?
No, Rob.
Yeah, Rob. And they was like, okay, one of these got to get fixed, and he instantly went for blue line. Because that was
the money line.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So they redid that. And remember, they had hired all these people. The same thing they did with the red line. They did all their hiring again. To get the blue line up and whatever and blah blah blah.
Okay, so it had the newfangled bumpers.
Yeah, and
the bumpers that didn't bump.
And you know they're already saying, well, the knuckles
who installed it back,
they instantly are blaming.
This is why we don't like to hire them. No,
that's what this. So they
no, you're not gonna put that on. No,
that's where they're going. And yeah, it's a lot of tragedy, but whatever. I laughed and it was funny to me. So.
Great job, and you decided to just go to sleep on it.
CTA.
But if she would have been deciding to read a book instead of going to sleep.
That would have put her to sleep.
That wouldn't have put her to sleep. Oh, she started rubbing one out.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, no, she would have read, our next guest, one of her books. She'd have been too excited to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Flicking the bean.
There you go. So when we come back, we are going to meet the drama princess, erotic author. I've been waiting for this all week.
Take it. Pull my pants down. Let's do it.
Here we go. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
The following is a real-life simulated conversation between an on-call advisor and a subscriber. It took place on October 2nd, 2005.
On-call emergency, this is Rita speaking. How can I help you?
Yeah, listen, my car is stuck in a ravine, and I'm freaking out.
I've put in a request for emergency assistance. In the meantime, your car is equipped with the Trunk Monkey feature. Please push the red button.
Okay, done. He's taken off my shoes.
Yes, sir. The Trunk Monkey is there to help.
Okay. He's licking me. He's licking my leg. All right, stop that!
He's trained to give you emotional support during this stressful time.
By licking me? Down, monkey!
The Trunk Monkey. He'll do anything he can to help. An innovative idea you'll only find at Suburban Auto Group.
Are you still there?
Yes, stop, monkey, stop. Stop, monkey. Oh, that feels so good. No, that feels bad. No, stop, please.
Come to Suburban Auto Group for a surprising car buying experience and free Trunk Monkey gear, located off Highway 26 on the way to Sandy.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys know you can hit us up at our email at truthbrosradio@gmail.com. And, of course, truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
There you go. And the chat room is up and running, and you can talk to Lorelai. You can talk to Tony Breedlove of Hot Topics Talk Radio.
Hey, Tony.
In the chat room.
Hey, Lorelai.
And the LaDrama Princess is in the chat room, but you don't have to just use that to talk to her. You can call us up to talk to her because she's right here with us.
I want y'all. I got to get romantic with this.
Okay, go ahead.
I got to get romantic. Listen here. In this building right now with Nikhil, who's about to join us, we got an Arachia up my back. I'm sorry. Let's get for real. We got an erotic fiction novelist, author. Got some books like Swinging Submissions.
There you go.
You Ain't the One.
You Ain't the One.
Submit to the Dark Side.
There you go. That's mine.
That's yours?
That's mine.
I mean, you can catch all of these books at LaDramaPrincess.com. And no, there's no Brazzers or nothing on there. Because I went looking. I went over there. But no, she's wrote a lot of books, man, made a lot of money doing her thing. We want y'all guys to, man, give it up for the one and true, only LaDrama Princess.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all? I see y'all cutting up too bad over there.
No.
We just warming it up for you.
This is life. We had to get the show started, ready to get you on, get you comfortable and ready to roll with the Truth Brothers.
There you
ready
go.
To do this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Let's jump right into it.
Oh, God.
One of the things I saw was You're Not the One. Now, the thing that caught my eye with You're Not the One is that book cover. Now,
yes.
And if you guys haven't seen it, we're actually going to be posting these to the page. Y'all, fellas, you got to see that cover to You're Not the One.
Oh, yeah. And Tony just said she sounds too innocent to be writing erotic novels. It's the innocent ones that do the most damage.
Church girl.
There you go.
Are you the daughter of a pastor?
Yes, I am.
See?
There
we go.
And she did not tell us that before. Da-da-da, that's bang. But anyway, before we really get into this interview, why don't you tell the people and all the listeners a little something about you?
I am an author of erotic fiction. And I live in Arkansas, and I'm a mom. I'm involved. I'm educated, you know, and that's pretty much it. I live a boring life of a writer.
Really? Okay,
yes.
Well, then let me right into my first question. How does a mom just come up with, you know what? Yeah, I'm just going to take all my dirty thoughts and put them on the page.
How do I come up with what now?
How did you come across the idea of writing erotic novels?
The plain answer would be, when I used to read back in the day, you know, you always read a book, and then it's always probably going to be some sex that come up. Mm-hmm. So whenever I would get to the sex part, I'd get all excited, and then I would get there, and there would be no sex. They would, like, jump around it, you know, dance around the whole sex thing. It was like, more books should have more sex in them. So that was my thing. And then I just found out about, you know, the sex sites online when I first started getting on, and they had sites dedicated to erotic stories only. So those were just, like, my sites to go to late at night when I didn't have anything to do. You know, after I got through with the webcam chat rooms and everything. So I would go on those sites and read the books. In the story, so that's how I thought, you know, maybe I should try this, you know, writing them and everything. And that's how, you know, I started doing the erotic thing.
Okay. All right.
Now, I got a question. Are any of those from personal experience, any stories you wrote throughout there, Can we say that, yeah, I took a little bit of this and put it into my personal stash?
No. You know, you want to know where my real inspiration comes from?
Yes. Yeah,
people love. Always say my books are very visual. They always say the whole thing is very visual. And then the sex part as well is extremely visual. I watch porn, and that's how I get my – so I can watch a scene, and when I get there, if I might about watch it like two or three times.
Yes. Not just fingertip nasty. You know, it's hard to find women that come out. Yes, I enjoy, you know, peeking or whatever. It's hard to find women that say, yes, I
and
watch
let's be
porn.
Honest. Women watch porn way more than men.
I don't believe that.
You don't believe that at
all? I don't
all.
Believe that at all.
Not buying that. I've heard that too.
Okay. Well, okay. You say you get a lot of your ideas from watching porn or whatever like that. So which one of your books or what? Which one of your books would you say is closest to you? Do you feel like is your baby?
The one that I'm working on now, which is Slinger Submission. And that character, the main character in the book is most like me. And not necessarily the lifestyle that she lives, but her personality and the way she reacts to stuff. And I feel like her partner, my partner told me that her husband in the book is a lot like me as well. And he has more of a voyeuristic thing to him. So that would be a lot like me as well.
All right, give us a little synopsis about the book.
Okay, Swinging Submission is about... you know, this woman named Marquette Rochelle, and she is married to Josh, and they're in their mid-40s, and they have this special lifestyle where they bring other people into their sexual relationships. And they get into a situation with her best friend, and the best friend, you know, she doesn't know that her son is involved with them and they're swinging. So the book is telling a story of what goes on between these people and how everything unravels, and, you know, at the end, it's kind of going to be probably what people feel like should happen to the people that, you know, got involved with her son. But
right.
The book is, it's a full novel, and it is full of sex. It has a very good story to go with it, but, you know, you get your money's worth if you want to read some sexual stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of messed up. Young Donald out there cutting the grass, and Mom... Lemonade, yeah.
Right.
Come on in. You look hot.
You should write Ike Turner story.
You should. Yes.
You should really write it.
Yes.
No, we've said this before. Young Ike had it bad. And I would love to hear young Ike's story through your eyes. I would love to.
Yeah.
And you definitely let me know when Swing and Submission comes out. Because I already like how it sounds.
How far are you along in the book?
I'm on my third draft right now, and it's due out May 12th, the day after Mother's Day.
Wow. All right. You're on the third draft?
How many drafts do you usually do when making a book?
Four. That's the standard.
Okay. Okay. How many, just out of curiosity, how many chapters are you working on? Just curious.
This book has a prologue and an epilogue, and it has 28 chapters.
Man, that's a lot. That is a whole lot of.
That's a lot.
I am. Oh,
that's a lot.
Who? I mean, outside of we've already talked about what gives you your inspiration, but who do you look up to as far as writing that gives you an influence that you would say you look up to as a writer?
As far as erotica goes, people always ask me who do I compare my erotica to or something like that, and I would say. I wouldn't say our styles were identical. I don't write to be like her, but I would say that she has that edge that I personally like, and that would be Alison Hobbs. I really like her. I like her stuff because it's not necessarily romantic. It's, you know, you get a good story out of it, and it has some really good sex in it, and it's not stuff that's like carbon copy. Because a lot of people, when they read erotica, they say they don't want to read the same things from book to book, and they don't want to read the same things from scene to scene in a book as well. And I would think that she would be somebody I would say my erotic stuff is like, you know, from the erotic angle.
Right. Okay.
Now, hold on.
Okay. I can dig that because I remember, man, when the first actual adult book I ever read was from a lady called Judy Blume. And Judy Blume is known as a children's writer. She writes children's books.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to write a book for adults. It was called Wifey. That was like one of the wildest fucking books I ever read. And I think I read that book when I was like 15, but that book was off the chain. And it was like she was saying, it's this big buildup. There was a lot of sex in it. But in the end, it was a bunch of come up. She had to, the main character had to deal with her come up. She had to get it paid back in the end. Okay. What she, but it was wild. It was wild.
Okay.
So what's the most interesting character you ever created?
For writing, and so far I would say it's a character from the second book, You Ain't the One. That character would be the main character, which is Tania Ruiz. And I would say that people seem to think she is the most interesting character because she is in a situation where, you know how you have somebody, but they don't really do what they're supposed to do with you as far as sexually? And you end up getting with somebody else, and they don't really do what they're supposed to do, period, for you, you know, in a relationship. And so she ends up, and she has an attitude where she knows she got it like that. So she can do what she please because people look at her and they think of her sexually. So she kind of uses that stuff about her to get her way. And so she maneuvers through several relationships with different people in that book. And that's the most, you know, character that people, so far, that they really just, you know, have something to say about. And the next one would be, and the first book would be Submit to the Dark Side. That character would be Lorraine. And the name of the story is Lorraine's Coming Out.
Right.
So I would say those two.
Right. Well, I think we got a break coming up, but before we hit to that,
no, we're good.
Oh no, I was about to say because I wanted her to say a little piece for one of these books real
go
quick
ahead.
Before we go to one of these breaks.
But yeah, we're good.
Well, I don't know if you got anything, a little excerpt from one of your books, but or if you know it's not hard, or if I don't know if you even want to come out your new book, but if you got a little something you could
give
share with
taste.
The people,
yeah.
Give them a little taste of what you got, and then, you know, shoot it out there do it for the vine.
You didn't tell me I should have something queued up.
Well, see, I just thought you would have had your books in your lap, you know.
All of them.
Not all of them.
No, not everybody wants an excerpt, so I didn't have one queued up, so now I got to open my file. But since I just mentioned that story, Lorraine's coming out.
Yeah, there you go.
I can
coming
pull
out
that
of-
one up.
Hold on, let me zip my shirt up. Two Brothers Radio, let's do it. But in the meantime, while she's doing it, I thought that she was going to say that, you know, because like you said about Ms. Bloom, I grew up in the Zane era. Like every
woman
who wrote an erotic book was saying, yo, Zane, 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 Zane. You get
right.
And last I heard, she had like 44 of these joints that was out. Anybody like who?
Yeah, you know, she just linked up with our Facebook page, matter of fact,
Zane.
Not too long ago, yeah.
You know who Zane should link up? Zane, you know who would have some books and put Zane, LaRotica, La Drama Princess, and Jawanza. All have them
with
linked
his
up.
Art.
Yeah, that would
yeah.
be something.
Do you have an illustrator, or have you ever thought about getting an illustrator for your books?
I haven't thought about that yet.
Yeah, it's a dude named Jawanza Almanoon.
Mm-hmm.
He shows everything. I'm just in case you ever need a backstory of put a picture in the back of who you might
want. How do you fashion your male characters? Are they always?
What was that?
I say, how do you fashion your male characters? I mean, are they always the bad guy, or can they be the victims? Can they be vulnerable? Or are they just jackhammer?
I wouldn't say no. None of my characters are like a, you know, if you said a jackhammer or anything like that. I would say that all my characters are portrayed in the most positive light I can put them in, and I don't write stereotypical negative stories of, you know, if it has to be a bad guy. So. You know, I just write the story of, my name is La Drama Princess. So first of all, when I write a story, I got to come up with some drama. So whoever is going to be the person is going to be the person that is causing the drama or who gets caught up in it. So it, I don't never say, well, the guy has to be, you know, doing something bad or he's the one in the wrong. So mm-hmm. sometimes it can be the girl. It doesn't matter. So that is what happens and You Ain't the One. I think people, when they read the description of that book, they think that the man that I say his name in the description is the one who's in the wrong. But that's not necessarily the case in that book.
Right, because I was, when I was listening to you just talk about that, when you said one guy could do, you know, was taking care of her, you know, as a man, but he couldn't provide in bed, and the other guy just, you know, couldn't do nothing, but I guess he was knocking a block off. So, you know, maybe she was, maybe, you know, they was taking the guy who was the provider as, like, being this lame or he's not, like, up to par. And then you have the other guy who's like, I thought that was, you're going to say he was the jackhammer, so to speak, because evidently all he did was lay pipe and keep it moving. So, I mean, I'm guessing.
Right.
I she has me very interested in going to, are any other books on Kindle or anything like that, or are they all paperback?
They are in paperback, Kindle. They're on Nook. They just came on Google Play. That's all except for the third one because it's not out yet.
That's
but the
awesome.
First two are on all those spots.
Nice.
That's all. You hear that, everybody? So there's no reason you can't get it. Look, I'm getting some tomorrow.
I am not lying. I think I'm a great. I want You Ain't the One already. I want to, because dude,
yeah,
that
I got.
Cover,
I'm going to mail that to some people.
That cover there. I don't. If anybody has seen the cover to You Ain't the One, it's a lady. First off, where did you get that picture? Is that?
I have my ways.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, here you go.
There's a woman with her back turned, and I'm leaving it at that.
There you go. So, have you ever considered like doing graphic novels or audiobooks?
Yes, that's in the works.
Okay.
Definitely in the works. And we have a little special trick we're going to use when we record those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm called live recording. method acting.
There you go.
Maybe.
What do you do to get seats at that?
You want to audition.
All right, what do you do to get in there? I just want to know, how do you get it? Hey, you want me to bust that bump?
I got mango and lemon.
Yeah. But, so, all right. Now, I'm guessing that the erotic novels seem to be your thing, and that's, have you thought about actually, because what I've read, to some people say that children's books are the best way to go because they seem to be more popular. Like anything with kids now seem to take off, especially like no kid has seen the Mr. Peabody, no kid that I know the old Mr. Peabody cartoons or whatever, but the movie comes out, takes off. Any of these movies, these animated things for children, they take off instantly. So I wanted to know, have you thought about doing a children's book, and would it be like a big adjustment for you? So that's why yay or nay for you to do those type of books.
I've thought about it. Me and another author friend have discussed it, and may have something in the works, but I just need to get all my erotica out of the way for right now. And you said, would it be a big adjustment? No, because I feel like I can write anything. It's just that the erotica is more exciting for me.
Would you change your name?
Yes, of course. I would use a different pen name.
I say Mother Drama Princess. That'll work right there. That would be nice. So okay, that's so it's not, but you don't see it nowhere in the near future. You saying maybe down the line, and all the erotica has came out, and you're just, all right, you know what? I'm 94 now. That's right. That's right.
Pumpkin
it will probably be in a couple of years or so.
Really?
Okay. Let me ask you this. Has your mother read any of your books?
No, but she sells them.
So that, hey, that's just as well.
Hold on. At church, girl. Hold on. I know you're in the middle of your sermon,
but I want to take time out to give it up to the drama princess. Yeah.
I want to thank the Lord for giving my baby her ability to turn y'all on.
There you go. And once you're done praying, you're already on your knees. Open up to chapter 12.
No, the last time she sold a copy, she told me the guy, he came back after he read it, was like, do you have any more? And she was like, I don't have any more on hand of the other book. And he was like, oh, yeah, so have you read it? And she was like, no. Well, are you into any of the stuff in here? And he lived across the street from her, so she was like, I hope this man does not come back over here anymore trying to throw himself at me.
And went back across the street. One and said, do you got more? Knocked on the door.
She like, what is it? These books, did you write them? And can you write a passage for me?
Just write a sentence. I'll be all
right. Right. And back, the pages stuck together.
Never mind. God.
Well, he knew that I wrote them as her daughter, so he was like, so you read any of these? So he wanted to know, did it run in the family?
Uh-huh.
Does it? Does the mom write it all?
No.
Did you know you always wanted to be a writer?
No. I always knew that I would be good at it from school because early on I had a knack for it. I would say from way younger. I used to test very high on English language arts. In like first grade, I was testing on sixth, seventh grade level. And whenever we would have to write something, I hated it when you tell me to write something creatively. But I used to do very well in there, and I knew it was something that I could do. And the reason why I want to go ahead and do it now, not necessarily because it's the erotica, but because my grandmother, she always had the dream of being a writer, but she never was able to.
Wow.
So
I would like to do it for her.
Did she put that passion inside of you?
Did she put that in me?
Yeah, the love of writing.
You know, the first dirty book I ever read was at her house.
Okay.
And
it's
this
hers.
Well,
yeah, right. What's that?
There you go. 818-514-1202 is the number. We're talking with the drama princess. Erotic author. We're talking about her book, her passion, what drives her. Feel free to chime on in and ask her some questions.
Well, I got one right now. Question. Before you wrote the book, before you wrote your very first book, right, and I'm guessing, wasn't that Swinging to the... No, that wasn't Swinging
to the... That's later.
The Dark Side.
Before you wrote that book, what were you, like, what made you say, you know what, I'm writing these sex novels. What triggered it? Like, was it the I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Right.
So I'm going to sit back and let you answer that because my words might not sound so nice. So what pushed you over the edge and say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do? And what was the first line you wrote? Because I'm sure the first line was not in the book.
It is. The first line was the if you go and look at the preview on Amazon, the first little thing, first few pages, is the first part of another book I got coming up. And that was the first thing I wrote for the book, but I didn't sit down and write anything that's in the first book saying I'm going to write a book. I was doing a writing challenge online, and I was having a discussion with a friend, and she used to write, you know, off and on too. And we were just discussing, what it would be like to be a writer, or do we think that we still have it or whatever. And so I found the challenge online, and I was like, I'm going to do it. So she didn't do it. But it was a seven-week thing, so each week you had to write a different scene. So some of my scenes turned out to be stories, short stories. Some of them just become like what they call flash fiction. So it's only like maybe 500 words or so. And some of them I'm going to be able to transform into actual novellas or novels. And so when I come up with all these challenges, I did the same for the challenges. I sent them to my significant other through email, And he read them. He was like, these are really good. And he was in school at the time, and he was at Rutgers. And he would print them off, and he would show them to different people. And then, you know, people were really pleased with them. They really liked them. And he was like, you need to make this into a book. So I was going to do it, and then something happened where I kind of got discouraged by somebody trying to cop my style. And I was like, I'm going to hold off for a minute. So that was like almost 5 years ago. So, you know.
Nine.
Yeah, right? So, now, it's crazy that you just said that somebody was trying to copy your style or whatever. Again, like you were saying with Zoom, and I'm saying with Zane. What?
I can't hear you. I can't understand you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. I thought the mic was off. You said that there was a it's funny how you said that somebody was trying to copy your style. And in an age where you have, like I said, where the Blooms were, and Zane again was taking over the world at a certain point in time, what is it that you do that you feel separates you from those type of what stands out? Because at a certain point in time, some erotic novels tend to all follow the same lane. It's like a Tyler Perry play. They all got the same beginning plot, middle and ending. So what is it about your books that separates it from the rest of these other authors?
Well, for one, I hate books that are go by a formula, and I never write anything that I feel like is something you've already read before. So I'm known for like throwing. I have surprises in my books. I'm known for that, and I'm known for having twists. And everything that I come up, I draw from my real life or people that has been in my life. And I can just pull something from there, and it'll make it more realistic. I never say that I'm going to sit down and write a love story and then just have some sex going on up in there like that. I don't read books like that, so I wouldn't write it. But from, like I said before, when I used to get online and look at the erotic stories on different sites, those stories were just people doing different things. It wasn't necessarily that they had to be in love or they were going to fall in love. I think that's what you are trying to say about they go by a formula.
Right.
You know it's going to begin this way, this is going to happen in the middle, and this is going to happen in the end. I don't never sit down and say I'm going to write something that is just like so taboo to me. I have to have something. For me, it has to excite me, so I have to throw some turns in there. So that's what I would say would set my stuff apart.
Nice. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into more questions with La Drama Princess.
And hopefully she find that excerpt so we can hear that.
And then I'm going to ask her about her motivations and research and everything. So when we come back, we'll get more into it. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
This is something like the Holocaust. Millions of our people
Truth Brothers Radio.
Okay, people, we are working through lunch today, and I better start hearing some good ideas.
I'm sorry, I order chicken fingers, not camel toe.
What? Camel toe? Not now.
Camel toe got you down?
You know it.
You're not alone.
You too?
Camel toe affects millions of women every day. It's the result of wearing tight-fitting clothes like leggings, tights, and other activewear. Camel toe puts your private parts on public display.
How do you handle it?
With this.
Camel tame?
Camel tame, with its sure-fit strip, creates a protective layer between your clothes and your business that ensures you'll never have to face the embarrassment of camel toe again. Camel tame is comfortable, easy to use, and 100% effective every time. You'll get noticed for all the right reasons.
Okay, people, listen up.
I'm sorry,
yeah?
But... yeah? You have my full attention.
Thanks, Camel Tame. Got camel toe? Get Camel Tame.
When Boost Brothers Radio.
Meticulously package it and ship it to distributors. To major labels, we ain't giving up no signatures. Conscious exhibitors, they hardly won't consider us. Like health in 11-7 Leviticus. I spent G's to press this final up, but obviously it ain't thugged out or white enough. It's tight enough. Only dope vibes I'm rapping on like four-track mine, but this time with natural born. You see your buck, we give you more bang for. You know my C's like Method Man and Gangstar. Garveyite out the trunk making a way without substantial commercial radio play. Self-determination is exactly where my mental is. Plus, I'm putting emphasis on respecting my empress. I know that change's the only constant in life, but I refuse to do it wrong, so my units move right. Feel me?
There's two buttons.
The back pocket is the Latrell Princess. And feel free to give her a call. 818-514-1202 is the number. Hey, I want to ask you a question, and my question has to do with research. How in-depth do you go into research about this type of genre of writing?
You mean for scenes?
Scenes, different
realism?
What people get into, yeah.
For the book swinging submission, I already had knowledge because I have this thing where people always want to tell me their innermost secrets. And if they're not just volunteering, I have become crafty enough to start asking them questions to get all their business out of them. So in the early 2000s, once again, when I would be online, I would spend a lot of time in Yahoo chat and Messenger. So I would meet, like, so many different people. And it was almost guaranteed at least a few times out of a year I would meet people that were into alternative lifestyles. And I, you know, it would be some gays, lesbians, transgender, dumbs, and some of them were swingers. And like I said, I have this little thing where, you know, if you're not going to tell me, which they probably do anyway, I will start asking you like these, and I'm really good at asking questions to get all the good information, and that's what I did with a couple of people. And then from there, what they told me, you know, it like kind of matched. I would start looking things up online, like I would find different documentaries and stuff like that just to feed my mind on it, period. So when I decided I was coming up with that story with the scene writing challenge, it was just like easy for me to just go ahead on and write it because I knew what these people would they would tell me about their the emotional side of it and, you know, what it wasn't like. So therefore I could say, well, this is what it is like. So I think that would add a lot of realism to that book. So it won't be some far-fetched craziness like, okay, these swingers, they do anything. It's not like that at all.
Right. Okay. All right. Tony at Hot Topics Talk Radio got a question for you. She says that most writers have the end ritual, which signifies completion. Do you have a specific end celebration or ritual?
No, I don't. I never thought about it. The only thing that if I'm writing a book, and it's happened for the past couple of times, I jump into when I get close to my fourth draft, I'll start thinking about writing the next book. And that's the only thing that I can think of will be my ritual because I'm already turning over ideas for the next one. And so the fourth book, I already have the cover ready, I have the title, and I have the first few pages ready, and I know what it's going to be about. We made notes on it last night.
Oh, yeah, behind the blog talk, the True Brothers story.
Right.
There you go. Right. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever wrote something where somebody you know and associated came up to you and was like, why you write my business?
Like it's the best.
Right.
No. I can write it where they don't know. It's kind of hard for me to explain, but if it's a just any situation, I've like know so many people, and I could just take something just pop in my head, and I can write it where it could be just something that they said or some action that they made in a certain moment that I can use it like that. And well, the second book, it is drawn from my best friend's life with her girlfriend, so that's who the main character is supposed to be based off of, but everybody thinks it's me.
Right. Have you ever mixed genres before? Have you ever thought about, like, maybe writing a crime novel with a lot of steamy scenes in it, or a mystery or something like that?
The first part of a story that's at the beginning of Submit to the Dark Side would fall in the suspense category. And I started writing on it again last summer, but I don't know if it's going to continue that way or not. But the beginning of it is, like, suspenseful. The next book, it's supposed to fit into the paranormal category.
So we got Freaky Ghost, or it's like, you know, is it going to be like just a regular paranormal type story?
I wouldn't call it paranormal, but the public would say it's paranormal. But it's nothing with ghosts, not like that. I can't really say, because you never know who's listening trying to copy you.
Nope. Yeah. Bust.
That's what I know. I know. I didn't want to get that out there.
Okay.
But it's something taboo. I will say that. But most people would say, you know, it would be in the paranormal category. But
okay.
It's taboo.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. Right.
I don't think I've seen nothing like that.
Right.
Okinawa and all that. You saw the rice ghosts get ready with the.
How much traveling have you done? Have you ever thought about when you write a book, you put them in different cities, and do you go research the cities?
No, I haven't done a lot of traveling as like far, you know, around the country or anything like that. I've interacted with a lot of people from around the different cities around the country, but my stories. Only one story is set up north. All the rest of them will be set down south. So, to me, I've lived in the south my whole life. If you know one southern city or state, you know they're pretty much the same, especially when it comes to black people. And all my characters are black and brown.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, now I'm curious as to why would you black and brown? Why aren't you so... It's a translation effect in there where, you know, she gets with the guy.
Something different.
Yeah, something.
Yeah,
why didn't you throw the
flop?
No, I'm saying. Why do you
stick to black and brown? Because when I read different, okay, I'm in a group right now, and they had this discussion the other day. Why is it when it comes to black people and our sexuality, if you go type in black erotica in Google right now, you're usually going to find a bunch of busted open vaginas and grease, you know what?
Hold on,
hold on.
And Google.
Google, do your work.
You will find a few tasteful, sensual pictures, but most of them will be like something graphic, extremely vulgar. And that's fine if you're looking at the porn, but sometimes you want something that is, you know, just going to, you know, make you just get in the mood and be very tasteful. But the reason why I'll go with the black and the brown, because when you find a lot of books, they are not very sensual if it features black people in them. If it's supposed to be an erotic book, they usually end up being treated as, you know, something.
Jackhammer, yes.
Yeah, that, and then, you know, like, it's very distasteful. It's, like, so disconnected. Like, you will get stories where the woman can't be into her sexuality just because she likes to have an orgasm. It's because, oh, she's being mistreated. She hates herself. She's going through this situation. She's on drugs. Her man beats her, or he has her doing these different things because he's messing with her mind. Or she got low self-esteem. So that's why I said earlier, my stories won't ever have a situation where the characters are being, or, you know, they have something negative about them. They might be doing some old crazy stuff, but they're not organically messed up people. So
right. That's
what I just wanted to focus on there. Like, you know, black people, we should have something as well where it's just, you know, you know, something very sensual and erotic, not just something vulgar and pornographic where it has no point to it and it's just very offensive.
Yeah.
You know, other races, they get to have that.
Yep. And some other erotic book, when you're talking about white characters or whatever, like Fear of Flying, that was a book of self-discovery for the main character. We don't seem to like to write like that for each other. For us, it's got to be us versus them, or we doing one another, but we're not necessarily loving one another.
Right.
Do you feel like your books or whatever you write is like, who are they? And I don't want to say directed to. Like, if it was by sex, you think that they're more for men or they're more for women? I know you're gonna say it's like a balance, but there are like some books that people would say, hey, you know what? This is kind of like directed towards ladies, or this is like directed towards guys. If you had to say, on a percentage scale, who are they leaning more towards?
I would say women, because women read more, but I don't know. It's hard for me to answer, because a lot of people say that my books are so vivid that it would seem like a man has written it. I don't know what that means.
Right.
The first book is written for everybody. So if you're like kind of very open-minded, you will like the first book. I mean, very open-minded.
Yeah, open. It's
open.
Was it hard finding a publisher?
I published myself, and I tried to do that in the beginning. I tried to go for a publisher, and I didn't like it because they were telling me in so many words that my characters, that it should be a white person in there, and that's fine. But I don't have anything against interracial romance. It's just like I felt that it was a void that needed to be filled. And no. I didn't want to change my characters. So that was like the one thing with the publishers. And then another thing, at that time, they wanted all the books to be, they wouldn't put out anything shorter than a novel.
So did they try to tell you when you were trying to get a publisher what black audiences were like, even though you're black?
Because
I know when this, we're always told all the time how, well, black people aren't in the talk radio, and especially young black people are. Why shoot something at them because they're not into news and they're not into topical topics and all of that? We get all of that negative stuff all the time.
Right. Yes, that's what I was told. And I was like, well, how do you know when no one has ever tried it? And what they'll say is, well, we know based on our figures, this is what sells. And what they usually want to go with is the romance angle of it.
Okay.
And at that time, I don't know what they're doing now.
Yeah, so I mean, like right now, so question, when it's all, I only want to say when it's said and done, when you feel like, okay, I've done everything with writing, minus the children's book, I've done everything with writing, do you think you expand into something else to do with exploring sexuality, or if you have thought about what the next move would be at all?
No, I hadn't thought about it. I really hadn't. With me, you never know.
Okay, so you have the unpredictability of yourself is what helps fuel the imagination for the books, I would guess, or the ideas.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. I was asking something. What do the kids think? I don't know how old the children are. Are they old enough to be teachers? If not, do they know you write books?
Yes, they know I write books. And I don't want to say anything about my kids because your first hour. So I'm not going to get on that.
Yeah.
No. One of my kids does have autism, and she does not realize. I guess she does, but it's nothing to her. The other one, he knows that I write books. But he has seen the covers when they come out of the box, and he's like, ew. And he's 13, and
yeah.
All he says is, you need to get rich. Hurry up and get rich.
So he doesn't want to, yeah, he doesn't want to see the books at all. He's just at that point at the 13, because I know 13 is that, it's kind of that tender age of when he might start, you know, looking at females and start to say, you know what, I like her as a girl or whatever the case. So he hasn't at that stage yet?
When he first saw it, he was like, ew. I think that, if anything, he looks on the internet on his own free time because he has his devices he can look on.
Right.
I think he's thinking of it like, ew, my mom is doing this. So
right.
That's okay. Well, young man grow, you trust me, that'll all change later on in life. But
yeah.
So how do I say this? How do you keep that? I don't know. Keep the imagery away from them. How do you okay? I don't want to have him. Are you comfortable if he was to read it? Just out of curiosity.
No, I wouldn't be comfortable if he read it. As far as keeping anything away from them, he has started coming, walking up behind me when I'm on my laptop and seeing different things. If I'm on Facebook, if I'm in a group and something's on my news feed, it might pop up. And, you know, I tell him to get away or whatever.
Right.
But,
parenting thing where you just, hey, this is adult eyes. You can't get into this.
Right.
Does he like writing?
What was that?
Does he like writing?
No. He hates it. He's a boy. No. He doesn't even like to read.
Next question. Okay. I know these groups get wild. They get crazy, especially with what you do. I know the groups you're in get extremely crazy. So what are some of the things, because I know in some of the groups I've dipped in and came out because they was, hey, welcome to the group. Here's your first picture that we're going to send you. And it'll be some naked girl just up there topless. So what have you seen in these groups, or what has somebody just, hey, how you doing? Here's a picture. Love that, and whatever. Have any of those things, any of those things that happened to you in these groups?
Say that last part again.
How wild do these groups get?
Yeah.
How wild do they get?
Yeah.
I'm in some pretty adult graphic groups, and it gets so wild sometimes people get angry, and they end up getting you blocked on Facebook for a while.
Wait. You're in an erotic group, and people get mad, and that gets you blocked in an erotic group.
It's not about what I say. It's about what I may post.
Well, I can't believe you can do that.
In an erotic, what? Hold on.
The leg doesn't bend that way.
And what can you post in an erotic group that offends somebody?
The one thing that got my account blocked, and I didn't think I was going to ever get back on Facebook, was a picture of a white male with something that hung past his knees.
And they were,
suspenders, ma'am, and we're not, okay.
I don't believe that is real.
That's suspenders.
It looked pretty real to me.
Have you ever written anything that's made you blush?
I wouldn't say blush, but when I'm going through and doing my drafts, I spend so much time on a chapter per, you know, I should have them be through within a day. But it takes me so long. It takes me longer than other people, it seems, because I get distracted by the sex scene. Things
right.
start happening inside of me. I have to stop.
There you go.
Hold on.
Take a break.
So, okay.
Yeah. So where can people find your book?
Kindle, Nook, Google Play, and on my website, LaDramaPrincess.com.
Nice. We're going to have to work something out so we can get some of your books away.
Yeah, work out a little deal. And
yeah.
We're
going to have to set you up so you can advertise on our page and tell people about the book.
Okay.
We definitely can work that out. You've seen how easy it was to make a drop. We did that in like no time flat. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any bisexual sex in your movie? Girl, those type of things. Is there any of those in the book? I'm just asking. And what's your take on that? Better yet, what's your take on same sex interactions?
Like I said, in the first book is for the people that are open minded.
Okay, there you go.
She did.
So
say
I wouldn't suggest you're going to get that book and then you're going to leave me a bad review because you ran up on something. Because I don't just say in the beginning of a story, I don't let you know what's going to happen.
No. You matter for me.
How do you like critics? How do you deal with critics? Have you how many places have your books been reviewed at?
Amazon and Goodreads, and Goodreads, it doesn't go very well for me. And in some private critiques in the past, I had this story, and I think I lost it, and I need to see if I can find it again. But it was going to be a situation in a church with two black males. I'm not going to say what was going on. It's kind of out there as well. So I posted the thing in the group where you could ask for critiques, and all I wanted to know was about flow. And it was the first draft, so I just typed it how it was coming. I wasn't trying to, you know, have anything where I was using, you know, proper anything. And the person immediately, within 5 minutes, I sent the email, and this girl, she hits me back. You shouldn't have numerals in the thing. It should be all words. You shouldn't use numbers in there and all this other stuff. And I was like, well, I didn't ask about that. And she was like, and you should tell people if all these characters are black, you know, stuff like that.
Different.
Nobody wants to see the white man with the thing past his knee. Nobody.
That, you know, this is a silly. Quicksilver. No one wants to see Quicksilver. You stupid.
You know what? About one thing about critics that always I never understood, and it's something. It's like even people who analyze anything, it's just your take on something. It's your opinion. You don't speak for everybody. Therefore, if
right.
basically a critic is something somebody who critiques something that you do that they can't do. That's just it. That bothers me. You can't write, but you will talk about somebody who can and say how they should. Nah, that is the dumbest thing in the world to me. I believe each person has their own opinion. They have their own idea. They have their own mind to go in there and decide for themselves if they like it or not. If they don't like it, they can tell somebody else that they don't like it, but you may. So, you know, that to each his own is my opinion, is what I think.
There you go.
Each his own.
You've got a boyfriend, correct?
Right.
All right. How much does he help you with research and
there you go.
Yeah. How does he feel about the whole thing?
Tell the truth.
Yeah.
He's fine with me doing it. He thinks it's great. As far as helping me with research, I'll call him up and I'll say, well, could you help me with I'm having an issue with this particular part in the story. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about sex. And I was like, you know, ask him or whatever, and he'll say a few words, and then it'll probably just set something off in my brain because we just, like, click like that anyway. So that's pretty much all he helps me with. He'll, like, help me, like, flesh out ideas when we're just having a conversation about it.
Flesh out ideas. Computer's already out.
Really? So your guy, I'm just, you know, I'm sure a great guy. I'm quite sure. Your guy knows this what you do. You having a problem. Like, you know what? What's the name? I'll make up Tiffany. I'm at the part where Tiffany's going up the stairs with the groceries, and Richard Long is coming downstairs. All right. And I need some help here. What should they do, babe? If you don't come, hey, I'll tell you what they should do. If you're and you just put the person, what is wrong with you, man? He's laughing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And, you know, he doesn't say, hey, look, we can put this thing in here. This is how it should go. Y'all don't interact and get that into the flow of things at all? Like you,
well,
son, you just there's something wrong with you.
No, it's not. I'm just speaking. I speak what the people want to know. Like, you mean to tell me your girl writes erotic novels? You're not trying to be in the book? I want to be in the book.
I want to be every character, almost.
Yeah, I don't want to be the guy who.
Got, yeah,
I don't want to be
guys
that
guys who. Yeah,
I'm open minded.
We're never in the books. Whenever I come to him, as far as sex scenes. With this book that I'm working on now, and it's like two males interacting with one female, so all he says is, and he knows me, he says, is there any gay in this book? And I was like, no. Are you sure? I'm like, yes, I'm sure there's no gay in the book. So he's like, well, you need to make sure that there's nothing, because his thing is when you have a threesome with two males, you have to be, he doesn't like it when it's, you know, threesome with two males and a girl, because he says it's kind of like you have to be too careful about touching.
Yeah.
So the, in this book, that's the only thing we like talked about.
Move your knee, dog. Don't say
exactly.
Why the hell? Don't look at me.
Because he said if they're touching it in kind of way, people, the guys that read the story might like, there's something gay right here. And they might be offended. Not saying there's anything wrong with something gay. You know, he's not homophobic or anything like that. He said you have to distinguish and make sure for your audience of this book. So they know, you know.
They sell. That's what he said. Make sure they keep selling. And I do say, as Tiffany was getting so, Bill accidentally fell on Ronald's lap. Like, I don't think that was Ronald. And he said, well, since I'm down here,
that's a surprise twist.
Then Tiffany was forgot about. Like, we almost
started reading at that point.
Right. Tiffany started working the camera. Now, we don't want that. Nobody wants that. I'm just saying, I feel like
at this point, Tiffany knew she had a problem.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen this time. I made sure, because a couple of scenes I went back, I was like, okay, tell me what you think about this. And he was like, that right there, you need to change a couple of words.
Guys, don't do this.
Yeah, you probably started off, well, first off, she's in there with him. All right, I don't like it. End it all. Now.
Have you ever got jealous of any of your characters?
No.
Okay.
Has he ever, here we go, has he ever asked you, are any of your characters, because I'm sure some of the dudes in your book said
lines. Looking for him in there, right.
And,
that's me.
And
that dude
he
right
says,
there.
And like, has he ever asked you, are any of these dudes based off your exes or anything
that? Right. This dude, Jack Hammer.
No, he hasn't asked me about that, but for the second book, he would ask me, he kept accusing me, it felt like he was accusing me of being the main character in that book, Tania. And I kept telling him, you know for a fact it's not me. Why do you think that I'm her? I'm going to be doing the things that she's doing. That was the whole issue with that book.
Because she looks like you.
And she
smiles. She's got a car like you.
She doesn't look like me.
She smiles every time you say her name, Tania. Why are you giggling? Yeah, that can get there. That's what I'm saying. That's the only way I'm comfortable with that. And it's not like she could do it. I don't mind. I want to be in the book. Not me personally, but a guy like me has to be in that book somewhere. And as
go the wrong way.
Yeah.
He could be mad at you.
No, he's not into that. He doesn't really want to be in the book.
Your job is to make the book, but I guess, man, again, we had a great time with LaJonah Princess, man. We want to thank you for coming on and sharing your story. You didn't give us that excerpt, so we're going to have...
Okay. You'll be back.
Yeah, you'll be back, and I need something off one of them books, but I'm personally going to get... What's the one with the girl? You know what I'm talking about.
You Ain't the One.
You Ain't the One. I recommend everybody go get that one book. I'm not saying get that one, but start off with that one, then get the other one. I like that one. So, yeah.
We agree with Dave.
Yeah. So, definitely.
Well, it has been a definite pleasure having you on, dear, and we're going to have you on again. Don't worry. I'll be getting in contact with you later on in the week. I got hold of but so we'll chit-chat.
Okay.
Anything you'd like to say before you sign off?
All I just want to say is look for more delicious books to come and make sure you go to LaDramaPrincess.com.
All right.
Thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye, sweetheart. Yeah.
And we did not do well at all.
We did fine. We stayed out of the gutter. We did good. That's good for us.
We did the best we could that second hour. First hour was
join
bad.
Us. Join us next week when our next show is going to be an April Fool's Day special called The Joke's on You.
And we got some Lulus for you. We're gonna hey.
Yeah, Super Extended Terrible Truth is what it's going to be.
Yeah, so you guys, I know we, yeah, but just be ready for this next episode. It's going to be hilarious, man.
Yep, so thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. Join us next week. This has been a G-Network presentation, and we're going to let you know that if you're not listening to the Truth Brothers,
then the truth ain't in you.
Peace, y'all.
Two fingers.
Don't sweat the technique.